Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This morning, well, the month of October is whatever you want to call it. I've heard it called all different things: Bully Awareness Month, Anti-Bullying Month. It's an opportunity. I would guess that they went with October because school is in session, has been in session for like a month and a half now, maybe 2 months. And already things have started to happen, things that are concerning and are a part of everyday life for some of our young people. Some of our tweens, some of our teens, and some of our young adults as well. The three cases that I want to talk about this morning are cases that I've mentioned before. They're cases that are not new, but there's been a little bit more news about them that I was able to dig up. And I want to talk about them because I want you to think about who really needs counseling here, who really needs to understand what the problem is. I am actually beginning to believe, and I probably said this before, because I do think that as adults, responsibility should rest on our shoulders. I do think as adults, it is our responsibility, our job, our I can't think of another word to say to you that we're supposed to be watching the kids. We're supposed to be taking care of them. We're supposed to be keeping them safe. And when we don't keep them safe, and as you know, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know many times we're the reason they're not safe, which is a sad point of fact in itself. But even when it's not us, even when we're loving, caring parents, we're trying to do the right thing, and we've discussed many times that there is no book of rules, albeit people have tried, there is no set of circumstance that one size fits all. But these three cases that I want to tell you about will make you think about what's really going on out there, what we're thinking, what we're doing and what we're not doing. And of course, I can't escape the fact, and I have to touch base on the fact, that is it any surprise that we can't keep middle schools safe when the largest, most renowned government in the world can't play nice together, can't get along, are bullying each other every day? So, gives us food for thought, I think. I'm going to bring Shelly in. A lot of times she just likes to listen when I talk about some of this stuff, but I want her to be able to say something if she feels the need to. Good morning, Miss Shelly.
Good morning, Rainey.
How are you?
Nice to get in the show on time this morning.
Well, it was funny because I didn't. I kind of got caught up with AJ this morning. He's...
There you go.
In a marathon this morning. So I came in here, and I actually called into the show before I could get it up on my computer because, of course, you know, whenever you're not totally prepared and not totally on time, your computer wants to do other things, you know. It has a kind of a mind of its own. One
yes,
of these days I know Don, and I'm going to say, okay, let's get to the radio show, and a voice is going to go on and say, I'm sorry, Renee, I can't do that.
Right. So,
probably
coming. Good topic for today. I'll probably be doing this a few times this month. But
yes.
I'm curious as to the updates that you have.
Yeah. Well, next week, next Tuesday morning, we have a very special guest, a mother lost her child to bullying, and she and her husband have started an organization called It Only Takes One, and they travel all over the world. They've written some school programs. I touched base with her a long time ago, but she was kind of overwhelmed by everything that was going on, and she just got back in touch with me recently and said, okay, do you still need us? Because I've got time now and I can do something. So,
wow.
I've looked at her website, and I don't want to give everybody that information until she's on the show. But she'll be on next Tuesday morning, so I'm really looking forward to that. And hopefully we can have her on every now and then when she has new news to share with us. But
right. Here's
why we need people like her and some of the other folks, the people that wrote, you know, that are running the Bully Project, the Bully Movie. Mm-hmm. And again, everybody, when you hear the word bully, I don't want you to just think about kids. I really don't. Because bullies who are bullies when they're 14 are bullies when they're 34, 44, 54, 64, and sometimes even 74. And
that's right.
As I mentioned now, look at our legislation, look at our Congress, look at our all these people. It's like they're vying for who's king of the mountain. I'm embarrassed by their behavior. I'm ashamed of their behavior, and I wish I was a whole lot smarter and had a whole lot more money, because I'd be there and I'd be saying, what in the hell are you thinking? But I don't, can't, and won't, because I'm not in a position. So I guess our job, people like us, is to hope that we can turn around the kids of today so that they're not adults like the ones that we have in charge right now. And the three stories I'm going to tell are, I want you to think about who's really the biggest problem in these stories. I want to start with Duval County, which is up in Jacksonville, Florida. A judge steps in and bars a 14-year-old girl from all public schools after she lures another 14-year-old into a trap to beat her. She rams her head into a stone wall. The young woman suffered a fractured skull. The bully has beaten other girls and always has others there and has them record everything on their cell phones. So she actually plots this stuff out. This is not random acts of rage. This is not something
premeditated. It's completely premeditated. It's premeditated.
Absolutely. Yes. And repetitive, no less. After the ruling, the district attorney or the district superintendent announces that the judge went too far. Public school is a constitutional right, and no child should be judged by outside actions and used as a scapegoat. That was the announcement he made. So he actually overrode the judge's proclamation and said, no, you can't tell her she can't go to any school. So by the very next Monday, this girl who had, they'd seen other videos, got other statements that she had beat on other girls before, and like I said, this young woman was hurt badly, fractured her skull. They showed pictures on the internet and on television of her lying in a hospital bed in a neck brace and unable to move for a while until the crack in her skull was able to heal. So here's a judge who's probably fed up and is thinking to himself, we have to get a handle on this. This is ridiculous. And in the video that I watched with the girl beating the other girl, you really don't see her face. You see her back. And she's straddling her. Once she rams her into the wall, she continues to beat on her. And she's straddling her, just pummeling her, which I've seen way too many of in the last year, these kind of videos. So my first thing for me as a grown-up is to think, somebody's got to help this kid. Not just the victim, but obviously there's something wrong with this 14-year-old girl. She needs some
help. Right.
However, I don't think that overriding the judge's decision, okay, the judge's decision was a bit rash. I'll go along with that. And maybe would have meant more if a little bit more thought instead of just shooting from the hip had been done. That's possible. Of course, hindsight is always much clearer than in the moment. But something needs to be done. If nothing else, this young woman that keeps beating on other young girls needs some kind of counseling, doesn't she?
Well, see, that's where I disagree with the – I disagree with both of the authorities in here, because the judge that said she can't go to schools, I actually think that was the right decision. I don't think it was safe for her to be in any schools. But then you have to partner that with something. You can't just say she can't go to school, and then what happens to her? Then she's just out on the street. She's going to start attacking people randomly on the street. I mean, obviously there's something wrong. She should have been committed. That's not normal behavior to be that violent. You know, he should have held her over for psychiatric evaluation. He should have incarcerated her. At very least, her acts were criminal. Why wasn't she looked at being incarcerated? You know, in a juvenile facility. But the bottom line is, if she's that violent, there's a problem there. You can't just leave her on the streets and say, okay, you're not allowed in schools now. Just get frustrated during the day and figure out how else to let out your pent-up frustrations or whatever wrong with you. So that, it was an incomplete act. I actually don't disagree with him. I think she should have been banned from all public schools, and I completely disagree with the superintendent of the schools. You have a child here that demonstrated that she cannot be around other children in a safe manner. And she could have killed that girl. When you take somebody and you ram their head into a brick wall, you can snap their neck, you can cause other kinds of damage if you hit one of the temple areas. She could have killed her. So that should have been classified as attempted homicide. And
exactly.
The superintendent was, I think, his reaction of superseding the judge's decision was completely wrong. I don't know why he made that decision. Because you're not banning a child that acts badly. You're banning a child that is actually a mortal threat to the other students. So I think the judge's decision was incomplete, and I think the superintendent was completely off target by coming in and overturning what the judge said.
Well, I wanna say that one of my grandchildren, who is 18, she said to me, Graham, it's a privilege to go to a public school. And I said, I agree. And she said, so when something's a privilege instead of just a right, aren't you supposed to treat it different? And I said, absolutely. You know, she says, if she can't get along in a public school and has been told that she can't go there anymore, just like you just said, if somebody who is incarcerated, it's also a right to be free in the United States. But if you don't live in schools, you're not free anymore. You're incarcerated. Then we put you in jail. And today, it very sadly doesn't matter what age you are. You can be put in jail today. I mean, we've read stories on the air of 13-year-olds arrested and taken to jail for their actions. And in a lot of cases, there's no physical harm done to someone else, which is supposed to be the most egregious. Our safety is supposed to be top priority always, whether we're a 14-year-old kid or a 65-year-old woman. Our safety is supposed to be first and foremost on everybody's mind. So now, listen to this. Here's my assessment of this story. Another example of confusion of rights, and yet another victim is victimized twice. The bully was returned to school to learn no lesson, no remorse, no consequence for her actions. Now, how can those three things serve this other 14-year-old girl? What did she learn from this? She learned from this that if the right people are paying attention, she can get out of anything.
Right.
Isn't that what she...
Yep.
I mean, if I was 14 and found out that the school superintendent, who doesn't even know me, can override a judge, that might change my outlook about everything. And even as an adult, it kind of changes my outlook about everything. I had no idea that a superintendent of schools could override a sitting on the bench court judge. Did you?
Yeah, I was never aware of that either. That part of the story really surprised me and sort of disappointed me, because as the superintendent, well, first of all, the schools are in such a mess. How do superintendents have that kind of power and then allow the schools to be in the shape they're in? If he's got that kind of authority, why aren't they doing things more proactively to make the schools better in other ways? I didn't think they had that kind of authority. I mean, so it's surprising for me in a couple different directions.
Yeah, me
and,
too.
Oh, and by the way, before we continue, I have to say that you said your granddaughter, was it Crystal, who had made the comment about the school was a privilege?
Yeah.
Was that okay? Yeah, I have to comment on that. That is an extremely enlightened attitude. I was kind of taught that when I was younger, but I think a lot of the current generation isn't aware of that. That, I mean, is when you go back to the early 1900s and so, most kids did not go to school. It was only a select few that were able to, and it was considered a privilege. People had
and rarely girls.
Right, and rarely girls, all right? This was a battle to get public schools created so that this was something that was made available to all children, not just to some children. And this is something that you really should be appreciative of, the fact that there are schools and that you can go there and learn the basics on how to grow up and be productive, you know, and have a meaningful life. But it's not a given. It is a privilege, you know, and it should be seen that way, and it should be appreciated. And when something is a privilege, you take care of it differently. So that was a very, very enlightened, very happy to hear you say it. It's a very enlightened outlook. So, but let's get back to the topic at hand.
And again, it pulls me back to the question that I wrote on my Facebook page this morning. Whose fault is this? Who needs the most counseling, us or the kids? You remember the other night, too, I mentioned about the camaraderie that I see on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, I saw something that made me think, like, oh, my goodness, an adult driving his car too fast through the parking lot as one of my grandchildren. It's very – all the lights are in all the fields. Royal Palm is a pretty good-sized school. So all the fields were lit up last night, which makes the parking lot itself seem kind of dark. And there's all kinds of kids wandering around and families, because there's games going on, there's cheerleader practice, there's stuff going on in both fields. And one of my grandchildren, who just finished playing football, comes running across from the locker room to get into the car, and this guy's going real fast, and I hear my grandson yell, "Hey, I'm walking here," and the adult driving the vehicle said, "Get the F out of the road," and it wasn't a road, it was a parking lot, and again, grown up, this wasn't one of the kids that he just got done bumping heads with out there. They all, I've watched them, the other team, when one of the kids gets felled, well, of course, the coaches in this regard are great. They teach them that they're brothers in arms. They teach them that they have to look out for each other. If a kid is down on the field. The team that has the felled student all sits down and has, you know, silence while the other kid is being checked out. When the kid stands up, when the says he's okay, all the kids applaud, both teams. And if a kid gets knocked down, or if one player knocks down another kid or really slams them, not all the time, but a good percentage of the time, I see a tap on the shoulder or I see a nudge like, you know, you okay, man, that kind of thing. A very, I don't know, it's a nice feeling for me to see them all behaving like that. And yet last night when that happened, my instinct, I started to get out of the car. Because I was going to say, what are you doing? This is not in front of the Burger King, for God's sakes.
I know. I mean, he's going through the parking lot of a school where there's going to be kids walking around, but he gets annoyed because the kid's walking there and he has to be careful. I mean, I see this all the time. I see it in grocery stores where you would expect to see lots of people walking around. I mean, you're in the parking lot of a grocery store, for God's sake, and yet people actually get annoyed when somebody steps out in front of them. I'm careful. I don't understand why people aren't careful and why they think the pedestrian, you know, whether you think so or not, guess what? In a parking lot, the pedestrian has right of way. You need to be careful. You know?
That's right.
I don't understand why when somebody gets behind the wheel of a car, but this is also, this goes to the mentality of today where people feel that their time is more important than anybody else's time. They're in their own little world. They're not, their emphasis is not in contributing to the world. All right, their emphasis is on what do I have to do, me, what am I involved in, my problems are bigger than anybody else's, my desires are more important than anybody else's, and we have a lot of very, very selfish adults that are so self-consumed that they don't take into consideration that, you know what, everybody else is in a rush. Everybody else has to get where they're going. Everybody else has things they have to take care of, you know, and we have to learn how to play fairly with each other. And what everybody else is doing is just as important as what you're doing. So if you have to pull out of a parking space and leave a parking lot and there's people walking in front of you or there's somebody else in another car, you know what? Take your turn. Calm down. You're going to, by rushing around, you're not going to really save any time. It's like the old cliche, you know, you road rage somebody and then you get stuck at the next light next to them. It's ridiculous because that's what happens. You really aren't saving any time. And what you're doing is, you're setting out a day of aggravation because once you've given in to that emotion, the whole rest of the day kind of trickles down in the same way. Now you've aggravated somebody else. You're not in a good mood anymore. It's a
That's
ridiculous
right.
emotion to give into.
What happens to the young kid sitting in the back seat? What is
right,
what does he derive or she derive from this little interaction?
Well, what they do is then they start acting impatiently with people in other situations because it's a character flaw that they end up acquiring when they watch their parents or some adult that may be transporting them around. Then the kids will start acting like that towards other kids for no reason because they're picking up on the behavioral trait, which sets a bad precedent because it's not just being behind the wheel of a car. You know?
So instead of teaching your child the grace and the maturity of putting your foot on the brake and seeing that there's a very excited teenager that just got through for 2 hours of playing Rock'em Sock'em Robot out there and is revved.
Right.
Instead of watching your mom or your dad put their foot on the brake, and maybe even I could even see, be careful, I didn't even see you. I could have dealt with that. That would have showed maturity and concern for the kid. But get the F out of the road. Oh, that's really wonderful.
I see that kind of stuff all the time, and it drives me nuts. You know, one of the other things that I was thinking about when we were talking about the decisions is that, of course, the decision of the judge and the decision of the superintendent set a precedent. The judge was incomplete.
Yep.
the superintendent came in and dissolved something. I'm not even so sure the superintendent bothered looking at the particulars of this case. He just heard that, and this is my impression, I don't know if it's true or not, okay, but I would almost hope that this was how it happened, that the superintendent wasn't really aware of the particulars of this case and just said, no, you can't ban a child from school, you know, because if the superintendent actually looked at the history of this child, of what this girl had done and the violence that she perpetrates and still made that decision, then it's even a worse decision, and it was a more ignorant decision of the superintendent's part. So I would be curious to find out as to whether or not he even bothered finding out the story. If he did find out the whole story and still made that decision, then I think his decision is even more wrong, okay? But the other thing that struck me about this, and this is something that I don't even know how you would pass a law like that or how you would do it, but I think that when a child is injured, and you see that there was a group of children that were onlookers, especially those that were filming it, they should be held equally responsible. And this is the reason why. When you have violent crimes where somebody gets killed, okay, the people that assisted the criminal that actually killed the person are held responsible for the death as well, all right, because they assisted in the crime. Like, say, somebody's robbing a place, and you have the guy in the getaway car who's sitting outside, doesn't know what's happening. The guy committing the murder or the robbery ends up shooting the counter person, gets out, gets in the car. Well, guess what? The driver of that car is now also held responsible for that murder that just took place because he assisted in the crime. I think that
let me say this. I've always believed that, too, and I've always seen that in different stories that I've read about and things like that. But that's really no longer true. There is a different kind of precedence being set in regard to that. I had a big argument, and I do believe one night we talked, or when we were doing the show in the evening, we talked about this because there was some controversy over how many women. I even talked about how many women that I met from the center that I gave jobs to that were in jail and doing jail time because their boyfriend said, you know, keep the car running, I'm going to run in and get us each a soda, and went in and robbed the store and came back out and took off, and the girl that drove the car got in trouble too. But that's no longer true. There's been other cases that we talked about where people were exonerated who were a part of it. And let's remember the day that my grandson was hurt, there were lots of kids that could have stopped it, that could have done something. None of those children got in any trouble, none of them. They didn't get suspended from school. Of course, it wasn't school grounds. Nothing happened to any of them. So there are different there's different stories going on now, but that's what I've always believed as well, and that's what I've seen happen before. But it's no longer true. So and I don't know.
Because a lot of times when you get these, because I remember when I was in school, now kids weren't as violent back then. They were going back, what, some parents were going back almost 30, 35 years ago, okay? But I can remember a couple of times where there was
that 40 years,
like, huh?
40 years ago.
40, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. 40 years. Good God. Anyway, it sounds funny to say that. Jeez, when I was a teenager 40 years ago, that just sounds funny. Anyway,
50 years ago.
There you go. But you know, and this, they had set this fight up, and this happened a couple of times with girls that. You know, we were all supposed to meet at this open field at, like, you know, right after school, you know, and there was a group of like 30 girls, and there was a one girl in the middle who was just going to beat the, you know, the stuffing out of another girl, and I was one of the only ones that objected to it. Here I am trying to break through the line of girls to get in there to break them up because the girl that was being beaten up was afraid. And it was like, and I'm yelling at everybody else, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? You can't just stand around like this. And I did that three different times where I actually went in and tried to break it up, and one time I was successful, and one time I was just such an annoyance that they finally broke it up that I didn't actually get into the girl. But I was actually successful one time in completely breaking it up, and then they just left this girl alone for the rest of the year, you know, because they were looking at me like I must have done a whack job or something for even getting involved in something that, you know, that nobody else. But if they had not made that circle, the girl would never have attacked the other one. It was almost like a mob mentality. They get charged up by having these witnesses. You know, these girls that filmed her attacking these, instead of filming her, they should have gone to the authorities, for God's sake. What are they filming her for if they know she's going to do something that horrific to another individual? As far as I'm concerned, they're just as responsible, you know?
Well,
because you don't aid somebody in committing a crime.
Yeah, we've talked about it 100 times. It's called gang mentality. But like I said, that's one of the reasons probably that those kind of precedents have been changed, because you can't take 100 people and throw them in jail. And a lot of times in a gang mentality scenario, there's hundreds of people standing around not doing anything. So that's probably why that had a change, and there has to be a little bit more participation than just being there. So let's move on, though, because I've got two more stories. Los Angeles, California. This is a short story, but I think it will incite you and I in particular as to what in the hell were they thinking. 13-year-old boy is relentlessly bullied. He's the articles that I've read doesn't state that he's gay, but he's feminine and has gone out to be a cheerleader. Now, way back in the day, some of the most talented cheerleaders in colleges and in professional sports were men. They weren't all girls way back in the day. And now all of a sudden it's become more of a girl thing. But there are guy cheerleaders, and apparently some of the bullying that this young man endured was because he wanted to be a cheerleader. And dad goes to school, he tells everybody, he does everything he needs to do. Finally, one day, nothing's changed. He's still being picked on and bullied every day. And he fights back. And he gets suspended. He gets suspended from school. So after he tries to deal with, in his own 13-year-old head, dad, mom both tell me, stand up for myself. Don't let these kids pick on me, because you know that's what mom and dad were saying, because that's what we all say. That's kind of what Izzy has taught us, to kind of like turn it around, not necessarily fight back, but try to turn it around and try to say, you know, what's your problem with me? You know, there are lots of guy cheerleaders. I should be able to be a cheerleader if I want to be. If you don't want to be my friend, don't be my friend, but leave me alone. And apparently he fought back, and I think that consisted of a punch or something. And so he gets suspended from school, and he's beside himself. And he leaves a note and apologizes to his parents and takes his father's gun and shoots himself. So now a 13-year-old boy, 13's very young, a 13-year-old boy has taken his own life because somehow an adult that should know the whole story, if they had the ability to suspend this child from school, they must have known what was going on. They must sit in a position where they know that this kid's being picked on unless he's got blinders on. And instead of calling him in, finding out what happened, and maybe he did. The article does not say that anybody at the school even had been interviewed to any great degree so that they could find out exactly why somebody in power could suspend a kid for finally fighting back if everybody knew he was being bullied. But it was bad enough he took his own life. Took his own life at age 13. So, where are the lessons in that? The lesson you get is don't fight back. Just take it. Or maybe you should be sneakier. Maybe you should hurt these other kids and just set them up to be hurt so that nobody knows you did it. Or even get really covert, like a lot of our government, and do things, you know, that makes these kids look like they're doing things wrong, and maybe they'll get in trouble that way. Are those the lessons we wanted this young man to learn? Are those the things that we wanted him to understand, that sometimes you can't be honest and above board, and when somebody's picking on you every day, you can't get in their face and say, leave me the hell alone? That you have to do something else? You have to do something that's sneaky and almost cowardly? So what adult...
Well, first of all, I still don't
think that they taught this child any kind of a valuable lesson, or that they protected him in any way, shape, or form. I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. And that story is the one I chose. But we've talked about those stories since day one. We've talked about those stories since day one, that's what happens if nobody's paying attention and nobody steps in and nobody assesses what actually is going on. Somebody with a brain and education and has been around long enough to understand what's really going on, didn't step in, didn't protect this child, and didn't make sure that this child was safe. So who's to blame? The bullies that were picking on him every day, or the teachers that let it happen, or the adults that let it happen? Who's to blame? Very scary. Very, very scary. And I think that at the end of the day, we're going to find out that that happens a lot, a lot, a lot. We're going to find out that in many, many cases, that if grown-ups, adults, people that have a little bit of power and a little bit of say in what's going on in a particular situation aren't stepping up to the plate, they're not taking care. And we also know, very sadly, when we talk about bullies and when we talk about the harm that comes to our children, because of all the research that we've done and all the talking that we've done on this show, we also realize, very sadly, that in a lot of cases, the biggest predator in some children's lives are their parents, the people that are supposed to be safeguarding them. So this brings us to a third story. Are you back, Shel?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. You were. I lost you completely, and I wasn't on my dashboard. I was on my other page. Here's the third story, though. And this third story, we did touch base on when this first happened. But this one really, really tears me up, because even if I look at it from, you know, like clear my head of everything and try to think of what everybody was thinking and why nothing was done about this, I cannot, for the life of me, come up with anything that gives me one shred of hope that there's something we don't know and that's why this happened, or something that wasn't made public, something. In Canada, a 17-year-old girl is raped by four boys, allegedly, and one of them took pictures that went viral. She was harassed, shunned by schoolmates and peers, and her life was miserable. her and her mom went to authorities, said that the boys attacked her. There was lots of controversy, and we did talk about this, I don't know, several months ago when this first happened. And there was not, apparently, they were under the impression that perhaps her promiscuity and her behavior warranted four boys attacking her and taking pictures of her behavior and the state that she was in. And as a result of all of this attention and the picture that went viral, and all the kids in the high school, she's 17. I don't think she was 17 when this happened, though. I think she might have been 16, but it doesn't say that, so that's a guess. She hung herself. And
yeah,
it didn't kill, yeah, it didn't kill her, you know. Somebody saved her in time so that she was still able to be put on life support. And but there was no brain activity. So mom had her removed from life support, and of course she consequently passed. Nothing that I was able to find in any article that I read told me that these boys were punished, or these boys were even reprimanded, or these boys were asked to do. This is a big problem solver in my mind, and I honestly don't remember. I wrote myself a note. I don't remember ever saying this before. But if you can't think of any way to punish a kid other than putting them in jail, your creativity is down the tubes. Because one of the things is the best way to teach a kid that they shouldn't be doing something is not necessarily putting them in jail. In a lot of cases, it's called work your way out of this mess. Work your way to a better place. Community service, cleaning up other people's messes, can teach you a valuable lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Very least, why weren't these four boys, first of all, given some counseling, because that's pretty poor behavior. I don't care if this girl was so strung out on drugs or so shit-faced drunk that she didn't know what she was doing. I don't care. What kind of a person takes advantage of somebody that's in that place? A nice person?
Well, that makes those boys predators, because if you're going to have sexual activity with somebody that is incapacitated, that does not shine very well on your character or lack thereof, okay? And for those boys to think that it's okay to take advantage of somebody, that's like, you know, that's like you've heard all these stories before where, you know, again, we've had multiple boys, and they would get like a mentally handicapped girl who didn't understand what was actually happening to her. As far as I'm concerned, there's no difference between somebody who's mentally handicapped and somebody who's strung out on drugs or alcohol, because they're not in it with you. You mean to tell me you're going to have sexual relations with this woman and you're proud of that? That should be something that should be seen as such a despicable act, because you're having an unwilling partner, and that should be something that should be embarrassing to these boys, not something that's like a notch on their belt, you know, something that, like, you know, it makes them a tough guy. No, it makes you a slime ball, because you're getting involved with somebody who doesn't want any part of you, obviously. If they're that messed up, they don't even know you're there. So why is that considered a conquest? But you see this happen a lot, where guys will get girls incapacitated and then do things to them. And it's despicable. And I don't understand why they think it's something to be proud of. And it is criminal. So that's why I don't understand why something wasn't done to these boys. That's criminal. They didn't have their consent.
tell you why, Shelley, because on TV, on video games, on all the things that are put out there to entertain us, this is amusing. It's looked at as amusing. And there's never any conversation about where she got the booze, where she got the drugs. Bizarre, she got them from the same place that she got everything else that wonderful evening of her life. But the point is that it happened. Poor choices were made. Bad decisions were made for whatever reasons, where everybody's heads were at, God knows. But, of course, we could recount situations like that through our history and run out of numbers. We'd be into the infinities, I'm afraid. But here we are again. Young people making mistakes, poor judgment, and another victim who got absolutely, positively no justice. No justice.
Right.
And you've got kids demonstrating anger and frustration that manifest into cruelty and abuse. It's a cycle. You know, when I have one of the teenagers here or one of my own kids or something who I see being angry all the time, gritting their teeth and everything, I say, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I say, yeah, something's wrong with you because I know you very well. You can't unclench your jaw. What has got you so angry?
Right.
And they all look at me like, mom, you know, and I say, listen to me. Anger doesn't serve anybody. You have to find an outlet for it because anger only leads to bad things. Because when you're angry, you actually convince yourself that that anger gives you the right to hurt somebody or something, and it does not.
Right.
It does not.
Very good point.
So if in this situation, all of this happened, now these boys probably need counseling too. You know, I mean, I'm not going to defend what they did because to me that's that's atrocious. But on the same token, I would say to you that that's also not normal and that somebody needs to be talking to these boys. Now, whether or not they did, I couldn't find anything that said that. But if you don't, if you keep on tolerating the anger and the frustration in anybody, then you have to be prepared for the manifestation of violence. You have to be prepared for that. Because if you don't curb somebody's frustration and anger, it's like a pressure cooker. It has no place to go except for blowing up in your face. That's what happens. It's not easy. So tell me, who needs the most help? Do you have any idea who needs the most help? The adults or the kids? Who needs more counseling in all of these scenarios that we read about, Shelley? Who needs to learn more? We've talked about training on the show, about the fact that people need to be educated on how they deal with things, on what they ask, and how they reprimand. I mean, here's a judge and a school superintendent that had their heads up their ass, didn't they?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. Because the whole thing is that the children, and not just the children that are involved in that, not just the girl who beat up the other girl, all right, but every other student that watched that whole thing play out, they're all being taught a lesson also. This is what they don't understand. When you make these type of decisions, you're setting precedents. You're actually educating the rest of that school body. You're educating all the other students on either how to get away with something or that if you're a victim, you're not going to get justice. It sets a really, really bad precedent. So I don't understand why such bad decisions were made. It's like when you're dealing with a situation like this with two students, you have to understand you're not dealing with those two students. You're dealing with hundreds of students or, depending on the size of the school, maybe 1,000 kids. Okay? You have to be really, really careful, and they're not. You see this all the time. They shoot from the hip all the time. They make what they think are politically correct decisions instead of decisions is what's best for those two kids. What's going to take that situation and have it come out okay somehow, all right? And and this is what one of the things I like so much about what Izzy teaches, okay? Instead of taking that bully and getting them in trouble, so now they're even more angry with the person that they just bullied, okay, because now they got in trouble, get them help. Get them counseling. Make them look at the person they bullied in a different light. Like when he said, make somebody feel compassion for you. If you're angry, instead of attacking the bully and saying, what are you thinking? That's not a right thing to do, and admonishing them, say, you know, that really hurts my feelings. Why would you go there? Because you can almost start inspiring some sort of compassion out of them. Instead of attacking them and putting them on the defensive, you try to instill some sort of a normal emotional reaction. It may not work the first time you say it, but if you keep going at them over time and you show compassion to the bully and say, look, this isn't normal behavior. There's got to be something that you're acting out over. Let's sit down and talk and try to figure out why you're so angry or why you feel this is appropriate behavior. Over time, the bully will perceive this compassionate behavior towards them, and it will soften them. And like I said, it's not a miracle cure. It's not going to happen after 10 minutes. But if the bullies were to start getting some compassion shown to them, it would start mitigating their behavior. It would start diminishing it because you would start giving them an outlet for either their anger. And again, people don't act like that for no reason. There was something wrong with this girl. You know, whether it was something that was happening at home or something else that happened to her, or maybe she had some sort of chemical imbalance. But the bottom line is identify it. Figure out why she's acting like that. But just to either ignore it or put her in trouble, neither one of those are solutions.
Well, I think that once, in my opinion, for what it's worth, once you've had a kid pick a fight for no obvious reason, just pick a fight. That should be the first flag that says, we have a problem over here. Somebody check, because there's a problem over here. And and if there's a kid that has, you're sitting in a seat of power in a school, even in a college sometimes, although we've learned through our research that colleges and high schools do not have the same kind of problems that a middle school has. And the reason for that, of course, has a lot to do with growing up and finding out what's important and what isn't important. However, through the years, a lot of controversy over Pledge Week and all the things that college students think are funny to get the pledgers to do, and there's lots of inappropriate activity that goes on there as well, that should be, if you're sitting in a seat of power again, a red flag. If you have a child in your life that's doing things that you have to shake your head and say, oh my God, where's their head at? You need to be paying closer attention. You need to do something. And sometimes all it is opening up a conversation that says, you know, like I said, I say it to my kids. I say, you know, what's wrong with you? Why are, you know, what are you angry about? What's got you frustrated? And a lot of times they don't even know that they are. That's
right.
Another shocking thing. A lot of times they don't even realize that that's where they are, and they have to be able to absorb that and think about it before they can even do anything about it. So, again, conversation and talking about things. I had an opportunity this week to call somebody who is an older friend of mine, whom I love very much, and she's caught between many decisions to make. She is in what young people call the golden years, what us people in the golden years call the rusty years, and she's trying to decide what she needs to do. And I said, why didn't you call me? And she said, well, because you've got enough stuff on your plate. And I said, well, you know what? That's not fair of you to say to me, because I have always made sure that when I have friends, they know that they can call me. And checking out to see how much on my plate I have before you call me is ludicrous, because it doesn't matter. I'll make a bigger plate. I'll shove things out of the way to make room for you, because I love you. she is in a very, very rough place. Nothing terrible, just decisions. We talked for over an hour, and I could just tell by the tone in her voice after we got done talking that she felt better. And it's the same with young people. If you give them an opportunity to clear out all, you know, if you think about the game Scrabble or something like that, all those things in your head all tossed around, you got to put them in sequence to make a word so you can find out what the hell's going on with you. And if you don't talk to anybody, it doesn't work, because talking to yourself is a one-sided conversation. And you don't have the opportunity to weigh and balance different points of view, different suggestions, different ideas. All that comes from you is what is where you're stuck. You know, it's like being in a mud hole. You can't get out. You got to talk to people. And if that means, if you tell me you don't have anybody to talk to, then I'm going to tell you, write it down on a piece of paper, read it back to yourself, and then maybe counsel yourself. If that's the only outlet you have, do it. But with kids that are out there and are angry and taking it out on other kids, somebody's got to be paying attention and somebody's got to step up and say, what's the problem? Because both sides of this scenario, the predator and the victim, both need help. Nobody's without problem there. The person that gets continuously thumped on has a problem with self-esteem and other things, and almost thinks that maybe they deserve it because they're not as normal as everybody else, or they're not the same as everybody else. Have you ever felt that way? I have. Then you've got the aggressive one who thinks that the only way to get out of feeling those feelings is to be mean and exercise your ability to be in charge. So then you start dishing out all this antagonism and anger in the hopes that that's going to make you feel more secure. It doesn't.
Yep.
It doesn't. Neither one of those things work. So if everybody had followed the golden rule, as Izzy Kalman has taught us, it would have changed the journey of all the people I read about this morning. It would have changed the victims' lives, the bullies' lives, and the adult lives. If following the golden rule, if treating other people like you want to be treated yourself, was followed by every one of us, I don't understand why everybody can't understand how wonderful that would be. I just don't. In Congress today, if everybody would understand that we're all in this world together, and fighting takes up more room than being friends, always does. So learning how to live beside each other and to work with each other's thoughts, feelings, and ideas is the only way to fly, the only way to fly. And when you become very powerful, making poor decisions makes you the biggest bully in the world. So,
and you know what's an interesting point is that if more of the officials made decisions based solely on the facts of the case, instead of trying to do something politically correct or shooting from the hip, if they tried to do something that really fit the case at hand and tried to make it better for both the victim and the perpetrator, they would end up sending out better messages, more politically correct, and they could actually change the tide of a whole generation.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I also want to tell everybody that as a sign of the times, it was announced today that 6 Broward County elementary schools will have the presence of a police officer every day.
Wow.
Which, for me, is a sign that things are not getting any better. And I hope it brings what they're trying to do. I hope it promotes some feelings of safety. And in an elementary school, it may. In an elementary school, I can see a 7-year-old being a little bit intimidated or feeling a little bit safer, whichever side of the fence you're on, by seeing. So everybody go out there and have a beautiful day, a beautiful day. Tomorrow is recap day. I hope you'll join us. God bless, and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye, Reen.
Bye, honey. I'll talk to you in a few minutes.